Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, second half kickoff here for the morning show presented by St. Mary's Medical Group. Dave and Logan along with you. Thanks so much for joining us. And thanks for downloading the 960 The Ref app. We appreciate that as well.
It's a good app, really good app.
If you haven't, what are they going to do, Logan? You're going to download it right now,
yeah, you're
right?
Going to open your phone, unless you're driving.
Yeah.
Wait till you get to where you're going. Pull the phone out, open the iTunes Store or the Google Play, and just search 960 The Ref and tap the download button. We're not going to charge your credit card. Your wife won't be mad about it. Just do it. Or your husband.
Absolutely. Husband or wife.
There's no cost you're going to have to explain to anybody, and your life will get better immediately. Just like ours is about to get better.
We bring in Chip Towers from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, the AJC.com. Hey, Chipper, how are you this morning?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. Doing well. And we've been talking a lot this morning about what kind of caught everybody off guard yesterday. A little surprise announcement. What are your thoughts on Georgia's new special teams coach, Scott Cochran?
Come on, Dave. You didn't see that coming.
You didn't. Yeah, exactly. Well, it was funny. As I was out yesterday, I kept hearing, so someone was trying to tell me what was coming. Some kind of pitch was coming, but I didn't pick up on it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's really intriguing on multiple levels. Certainly, I think we're left to wonder, is this about making Georgia better or hurting Alabama? You know, that's definitely the thought that comes to my mind is obviously Scott Cochran, you know, doesn't have a lot of experience coaching special teams or anything on the field, but, you know, I definitely get it. And, all kidding aside, I'm sure Kirby, has complete faith in Scott Cochran being able to handle the duties that come on field. And let's not forget, you know, there's off-field duties with this as well. I mean, that's one of 10 off-campus recruiting positions as well. So, you know, Scott Cochran will be a lead recruiter in the territory out on the road. And, I think sometimes we may underestimate what that is. You know, it's not that easy recruiting. You know, there's a lot of people you have to wade through, a lot of living rooms that you're in. Georgia is unbelievably intense about, once they're on to somebody, about how you handle that situation. There's expenses involved. I mean, you know, this is a big leap. And I'm really curious from the standpoint of, you know, so Kirby and most coaches just came back from their little, you know, kind of post-recruiting winter retreats. They're short, but, you know, I know Kirby generally really gets away for just a couple of days. But as you can imagine, right after recruiting and stuff, he gets out of there. I have this picture of him and Scott Cochran being in the same place, because they are really good buddies, you know, like some Caribbean island somewhere. And you know what? I'd like to coach. And they just start having a conversation, you know. I have a feeling this is something they probably talked about for a while and just decided to pull the trigger on. And then let's get to the last thing, and I'll stop rambling on. But, you know, special teams is going to be a critical area this year. You know, not only do you have the changeover of the great hot rod at place kicker, obviously a whole lot more goes into that. But, you know, at least at the outset, you're not sure if you're going to have your primary punt returner, which is Dominique Blaylock. You're going to be breaking in a new snapper because of all the changeover on the offensive line. That means changeover in your kick protection, you know, and it goes on and on and on. But, you know, I think it's a great hire, you know, to get through the cut to the chase. Because, I mean, just because of its out-of-box nature, I think it's terrific. And, man, the buzz over in Alabama is significant. If you've I'm sure Logan's cruised around there just to see, mm-hmm. you know, kind of the Twitterverse. And, you know, there's some intense debate over on the Alabama side of things.
Yeah, it's one of those, you love him when he's yours, but then you're going to try to undermine him or you're going to try to discredit him as soon as he leaves. But that is something I wanted to ask you about, and this is a conversation out there. And I actually put a poll up on 960 The Ref, getting about 75% of the people saying that the best thing about the Cochran hire is that he's now at Georgia. But there will be that element and that factor involved in this. We've said a couple times this morning, Georgia is addition by your biggest rival, if you want to call it that. They're subtraction, so it's a double whammy in terms of the SEC landscape that not only is he now a Georgia Bulldog, he's not an Alabama Crimson Tide anymore.
Well, and that's the objective takeaway from kind of the national media, and not that the national media is any better than the local media, mm-hmm. but, you know, when you're talking about the people like us who cover Georgia and people who cover Alabama full-time, you know, there is a little bit more of a narrow focus. And when you look at the Bruce Feldman's, Chris Lowe's, Mark Slaybaugh's, mm-hmm. Different ones of the world, you know, I mean, they're across the board saying, you know, absolute coup for the University of Georgia and another sign that Alabama is moving into a state of transition. Now, listen, Alabama's never going to disappear off the map. But I can promise you this, Nick Saban is not going to live forever, and there's going to be change there eventually. And I think we've witnessed it pretty significantly in these past couple of years. You know, Scott Cochran was one of, I think they said, only two other persons on the football staff who had been in Tuscaloosa with Nick Saban that entire time. Now that's down to one. And so, you know, there's always changeover at Alabama under Nick Saban with his great success. His coaches are always going on to other things. And I thought Nick Saban handled it beautifully. I thought he had a very eloquent, graceful, you know, complimentary comment, you know. And the way it is nowadays, I mean, you've seen it with Kirby, that, you know, the head coach doesn't always comment when somebody leaves. And he basically said that he's happy for him. He's done great things for Alabama. He's wanted to do this, and you know, Cecil Hurt, who was the first who informed me of this, he actually gave me a call yesterday and said, "Hey man, I'm about to send a tweet out that you might be a little interested in." And I'm like, "What?" And you didn't know that conversation. I was like, "Excuse me? He's coming to Georgia for what?" Now, he didn't know what position, but I said, they've got to be. I told him, Georgia has a special teams position open. So if it's anything, I would suspect it'd be that. But, you know, Kirby's not above shuffling the whole card. And so, you know, that's kind of the way the whole thing came to my attention.
Yeah, and I'm curious to see, because in the quote that Georgia sent out from Kirby, he said, special teams coordinator is a great fit as he'll be working with all position groups. So are we taking that to mean all position groups or all position groups of the special teams coordinator?
Yeah, I think what that means is, I mean, you're taking linemen from the O-line, you're taking defensive linemen from the defensive line, you're taking linebackers.
Right.
I mean, depending on, if you think about, you know, kickoff coverage, there tends to be a lot of linebackers and safeties on there. You know, kick protection, you got a lot of big uglies. Like, you know, Ben Cleveland's been on Georgia's punt team since he was a freshman. You know, that I think is what he's talking about. And, you know, another thing that was just, I just can't really make any sense of, but I think it's great. So Georgia and their, you know, and their institutional release includes a quote from Lane Kiffin, you know, lauding Kirby Smart for this great hire. You know, that just, I'm not sure I've seen that before. Obviously, they worked together at Alabama, all three of them, Kirby, Scott Cochran and Lane Kiffin, but to see you know, an opposing head coach quoted about what a great hire it is in a University of Georgia release was new ground for me.
I agree.
But just shows the wide-ranging, you know, sort of effect that this hire has in the league.
Yeah, and in fact, I brought that up with Logan this morning, that it's like when I first saw that they had a Lane Kiffin quote, I thought, well, maybe this is an old quote of him, you know, talking previously about Scott Cochran. It's like, nope, because it's talking about him coming to Georgia. So it's a fresh one there. And I think still it goes back a little bit to what we've been talking about. It's taking a, I don't want to say taking a jab at Bama, but it's, you know, it's kind of a dual purpose quote there. And to have Lane Kiffin in the official Georgia release, I'm like you, that was certainly an eyebrow raiser.
I'm just assuming our buddy Steve Colquitt reached in his cell phone and called Lane Kiffin. I'm sure they're good buddies off the field. So
yeah,
there you go. Yeah, that's the thing. There's, you know, my speculation. I do think it's a dual purpose quote. There's no question. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do think this was designed not necessarily to hurt Alabama, but look, guys, this goes on. And Kirby, I've witnessed it in recruiting. You know, you sign 85, you sign 25 a year. You can't play but 11 at a time, right? So, I mean, you know, Georgia's going to sign the best. You're going to sign 25 five-stars if you can and get them all on the field immediately if they're good enough. But the reality is, in recruiting, sometimes you take somebody so somebody else doesn't get it, right? Just in case.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that's another one of these things, too. It's like, yes, Scott Cochran can help us tremendously. And we all look, this is a famous man. This is a famous coach. I mean, he's given a lot of credit for the success Alabama has had the last 13 years, and deservedly so. If you see all the videos and everything he does, him and Georgia's current strength and conditioning coach are very similar in that regard, Scott Sinclair, in that they're both extremely motivational, extremely intense. You know, I think people like that are intelligent, far and above what we probably give them credit for, because we think they're all yelling and screaming and intensity, but there is a method to that kind of madness. And, you know, so that's going to manifest itself, maybe not directly in the weight room right now, but mm-hmm. certainly on and around the field. So, I mean, I think he's going to be a heavy, heavy influence on the Georgia football program beyond special teams.
And he's talking with Chip Towers from the AJC.com.
He's also able to recruit now, which he wasn't able to do in his role as strength and conditioner. And all the Alabama players that tweeted out, you know, their comments about Cochran, and it was all loved, saying that, hey, that guy's one of the glues of the Alabama program. That's one of the big reasons I am, you know, what I am or where I am today. I imagine him sitting in a living room, whether it's with Kirby or another members of the staff at Georgia, that's probably going to sit well in addition to, but Kirby would not hire him in this role if he didn't think that he was going to be a solid recruiter. Is that the mindset here?
No, yeah, definitely. And you know, let's be clear about it. I mean, you know, the strength and conditioning, particularly the director of strength and conditioning, is a big part of the recruiting process.
I mean, right.
You know, when student athletes visit campus, yeah, that's one of the big, you know, shows that they're going to get, is to go to the training area and meet the strength and conditioning coach, and what, you know, what do you have to offer, and what are you going to do for me? And, you know, they're going to, a lot of times they're going to be the ones telling you about nutrition and obviously about what they're going to do to your body and that kind of thing. So that's a big part of the process. And I'm sure in all the changeover that Alabama's had over the last 13 years, I'm sure Cochran's been on the road a couple of times. When you're down a couple of full-time assistants, which Alabama's been several times, they can activate coaches or support staff or whatever, as long as they've been vetted and tested on recruiting rules, which I'm sure Cochran has, you can send them on the road. So I imagine it won't be completely new to him. And I'm sure that's, you know, look, we can talk about Kirby till the cows comes home, you know, about all his moves and personnel and strategy and everything. At the end of the day, the man's a recruiter. And I'm sure he's thought that through to an extensive degree about what Scott Cochran will look like as a recruiter on the staff.
What do you think it says about Kirby here where, you know, he's, like you said, there's no one that recruits as hard as he does that gets it, but also in his stubbornness and, you know, his digging in sometimes on things. We've seen him now basically with hires admit that the offense needed a new look, and now this is, I mean, this is an outside-the-box hire as you can make, so it is interesting to see maybe what the evolution of what Kirby's doing here as a head coach also.
Well, you're right. You know, I think one of the first comments I made, it wasn't to Cecil Hurd, it was to somebody else afterward when I was scrambling around trying to find out if there was any validity to this. And I said, you know, Kirby is playing chess while the rest of us are playing checkers.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's always thinking several moves down the line, yeah, so there's no question about that. And look, I think Kirby knows this, and he talks about pressure as a privilege, and I don't know how much real pressure that Kirby feels about all this, but we have all witnessed the support that Kirby Smart has been afforded during his tenure as Georgia's coach, and it's unprecedented. I mean, it's unprecedented not just in Georgia, but really nationally. Now, we can quibble about, you know, how Georgia's recruiting budget is figured. There's some reasons why what Georgia's spending on recruiting is a little bit higher than other people, because right now there's not they don't have any aircraft that's owned by the school, so you're having to lease everything. So that number is really big. But the fact of the matter is, he has been given blanket support, the likes of which Georgia has never done. And Georgia has always been, quote-unquote, big-time football, really going back to the 40s, and maybe with an exception of the 50s for a little while. But for the most part, Georgia's like, we're all in, you know, to compete for national championships in football. And it's been a while. And that's Kirby's marching orders, you know, is to get out there and do that. And we're going to give you every means available to do that. And right now you've got an $80 million new football building online. You spent $63 million on the West End. You spent $31 million on the indoor practice facility. That's not to include all the other stuff that you've done with nutrition, support staff, you know, academic support. I mean, it's, you know, he's been given every possible advantage. And to his credit, he knows what to do with it. He knows what he wants to do with it. But at the end of the day, you got to get across that finish line at some point. And that's the means to the end of all these means.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we got to watch.
That's what I was going to ask, is a lot of the common response from, say, Alabama fans or even Florida fans that took note of that news yesterday is the proverbial, hey, 1980, ha, ha, ha. But we have to remind ourselves frequently, this is Kirby's fifth year. I can count the years he's been a head coach on one single hand right now, but you kind of just said exactly what I was going to ask you, is how long does this patience have to kind of kick in before we can be a little bit restless? Because my personal view on this is that if Georgia's not going to win a national championship, I at least want to watch the coaching staff and Kirby Smart do everything they can to try to give themselves that advantage, and I have absolutely no complaints when it comes to that category, because we seem to get news weekly that something else is being done that hasn't been done before.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, you know, there's kind of, I mean, look, we've all gotten a taste, right? You know, Rose Bowl, national championship mm-hmm. game, overtime, you know, second and 26. You know, that's, you know, we always talk about how much that hurts or how great that was or how that felt, but, you know, when you're Kirby and those guys in the middle of it, that is a driving force. And the guy, you know, a guy who's given much credit for the four national championships that Nick Saban was able to win while he was over there, he knows what that tastes like, and he likes that taste, and he's trying to get another taste. And so, you know, how long will it take? I don't know. I mean, you know, the great question, which I don't think anybody can answer, is when does the faucet turn off, right? Because, I mean, Georgia is just at the top of what everybody else is doing. And the fact of the matter, you better be moving in that direction because everybody is. And it's kind of like, you know, you're out front in a relay race, and you better keep going fast in your leg, or else you're going to get run down by that guy who's about to take the baton next. And so that's where we are in college football. Now, I don't think you can keep it up. You know, we've got the student athlete image and likeness stuff coming down the pike, and that's going to, you know, you're going to spend more money on that. But the reality is, you also have a new deal coming down the line, I think, you know, with CBS giving up their thing. So we're starting to get a little bit deeper here, and I don't mean to scale this mountain, but the fact of the matter is the window's shrinking. I mean, I think like anything else, and Kirby's going to be around for the long haul. He said that all along, and you know, who knows if Georgia does finally break through? I hear you guys say it all the time. Maybe there'll be two or four or six on the other side of it. Or maybe it never happens. That's okay. Georgia's in a great place right now. They're competitive. And when you talk about when Florida and Alabama and those others are making fun, the reality is they know this hurts. Georgia is doing some big, making some big moves. They got some good players, and they're not about to go to the bottom of that cycle. They're still up top riding that wave.
Hey, no,
Chip, before we let you go, I did want to ask you one other question. So, you know, a lot of people figured, all right, Buster Faulkner was going to – it was like he left Southern Miss as the offensive coordinator. He's coming to Athens. He's not coming here to be a quality control coordinator. So what do you think is the – and I'm not maybe just asking about Georgia, but just in these big-time programs altogether where money's being spent now on quality control coordinators, on guys who aren't what you would – you know, aren't the technical assistant head coaches, but what is the direction of all of this? Because I think this is interesting too.
Well, I mean, I think again, when I was talking about Kirby playing chess while the rest of us are playing checkers, I mean, I think that's an ace in the hole. I mean, I think that's another pawn, if you will, that you can press into play at any time you want to. And I do not want to belittle in any way, shape, or form what those support staff do.
Oh, no.
So, you know, Buster Faulkner's going to have a big job, you know. And I'm sure the selling point for Kirby Smart to him was come join us over here. We got big things going on. I'm not going anywhere, and I need you for this right now. But, you know, sooner or later, with a guy like Buster Faulkner, I know his goal is to get back on the field. A guy like that, ultimate goal is to become a head coach. And Kirby now is at a place with what he's doing nationally. People want to be attached to that. It's just like the Saban tree. Coaches want to say, I'm of the Kirby Smart tree. And so he's here. Buster Faulkner ultimately is here in support of Todd Monken. But how long will Todd Monken be here? None of us can say. If Todd Monken does what Kirby Smart says he can do for the program, he's probably not going to be here very long because he, too, wants to be a head coach. Well, what happens when that happens? Kirby can turn around here to Buster Faulkner and say, you know the offense, you know, backward and forward. Why don't you step in for me, brother?
Yeah.
You know, that's what's going on here.
Good stuff, Chip. We appreciate it. Happy Mardi Gras to you, my man.
That's right.
Yeah, got to go get my beads.
There you go.
Go fire up the trombone shorty.
That's
there,
right.
Chip.
All right, thanks,
that's
Chip.
That's right. That's
yep.
right.
Big all day. Right. All right, Chip. Yeah. Chip Towers from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and the AJC.com.